Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio, open His eternal Word, and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible, the book of Romans, chapter number 6, and I'm reading verse number 12, 13, and 14. The Bible said, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." That's reading three verses, Romans chapter 6, verse 12, 13, and 14. We'll continue our study today on the subject dealing with the flesh. We've looked at several thoughts that I do not have time today to go back and review, but we looked for the last couple of days at the thought of understanding our flesh. And we learn from the Word of God that our flesh is depraved. We learn it's depraved because of its beginnings, it's depraved because of its bounds, and it's depraved in its behavior. Our best in the sight of God is as filthy rags when it comes to comparing our righteousness with His righteousness and our holiness with His holiness. But we saw not only the depravity of the flesh, but we saw the desires of the flesh, and we learned that those desires are self-gratification, self-exaltation, and self-liberation. And then we looked at the delights of the flesh, and we saw that the flesh delights in warring against the Spirit, in wallowing in sin, and in walking contrary to our desires for spirituality. Now then today, I want us to look at a second thought, and I want to try to get two in if I can today, but I want to take just a moment and look at the thought of underestimating the power of the flesh. We looked at understanding the problems of the flesh, and now we look at underestimating the power of the flesh. Now, I could preach for hours upon this, but I want to just mention briefly three things from the Word of God and then one practical point on this today. First of all, I remind you in the Word of God, it was the flesh that got Samson, the strongest man in the Bible. We have the story in the book of Judges, and I'm not going to take time to deal with it because I feel like everyone that listens is familiar with that story in the Word of God. But you know how Samson, after flirting with Delilah and then laying his head in her lap, he told her his secrets, and she cut off his hair, and he lost his power. And it was the flesh that got Samson, the strongest man in the Bible. Then, I remind you, it was the flesh that got David, the only person in the Bible that God said was a man after God's own heart. Now, when you think of David, if you know anything about your Bible, you can hardly think of David without the thought of his committing adultery coming into your mind. Can you believe that? The man that God said was a man after his own heart, the closest man to God in the Bible, and it was his flesh that got him. He underestimated the power of the flesh. And then I remind you, it was the flesh that got Solomon, the wisest man in the Word of God. Now, when I look at these three, I realize the power of the flesh was so strong that it got Samson, the strongest man in the Bible. It got David, the closest man to God's own heart in the Bible. and it got Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible. Now, when I look at that, I ask myself, who am I that I think I can handle my flesh? Not only would I say to you that it was a power of the flesh that destroyed Samson, the strongest man in the Bible, that destroyed David, who was the closest man after God's own heart in the Bible, but it also destroyed Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible. Now listen to me. These men did not fall by the world, and they did not fall by their enemy, the devil. It was their own flesh that destroyed them. Now I'm aware of the fact that the devil uses the flesh, but this is not external. This is internal lust that got these three men. And then my heart is grieved as I make the next statement. I surely have no delight in my heart, and I trust in my voice as I say this. Not only did Samson and David and Solomon underestimate the power of the flesh and fall into its trap, but so many of my Christian friends and my fellow companions and fellow laborers in the work of God, preachers, deacons, their wives, Sunday school teachers, and singers, so many church members that I've met in my Christian journey underestimated the power of the flesh, and they fail a victim of the flesh. Oh, God help us. God help me. God help you not to underestimate how wicked our flesh really is. So there is the understanding the problems of the flesh. Its depravity, its delight, its desires. Then there's underestimating the power of the flesh. But I want to take the remainder of my time and deal with unseating the position of the flesh in our life. Take it off of the throne of your life. Notice in verse number 12, the Bible said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Now then, how do I unseat the position of the flesh in my life? Let me give you three things. First of all, we must recognize the deceitfulness of our flesh. Recognize the deceitfulness of our flesh. Now I want you to hear me, and I wish I had an hour to deal with it. But the Bible said in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3, to have no confidence in the flesh. That's my flesh, your flesh, or anyone else. Sometimes you hear a preacher preach and you would think he has no confidence in my flesh. Well, the honest truth is, if he's really thinking right, he has no confidence in his own flesh. So if you're going to ever unseat the position of the flesh in your life and keep it from ruling your life and ruining your life, you must recognize its deceitfulness and have no confidence whatsoever in the flesh. Number two, not only we must recognize its deceitfulness and have no confidence in the flesh, but second, we must rob it of its desires. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 13, verse number 14, "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Literally, that verse teaches us, do not give it what it desires. You see, my friend, you will either put the reins on your lust and draw them in and gird up the loins of your flesh, or you will let them run wild and they will get you in trouble. Make no provisions for the flesh. Quit looking upon things that provoke your flesh to lust. Quit listening to things that provoke your flesh to lust. Stay away. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 22, to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Stay away from it. So you unseat the position of the flesh in your life by recognizing its deceitfulness have no confidence in it, by robbing it of its desires. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't feed its passions. Don't feed its lust. Don't feed its desires. But then number three, you unseat the position of the flesh in your life by reckoning the flesh dead in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look again at Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 11. The Bible said, likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. Now listen to me carefully. If you're saved, your flesh is not dead. It's still much alive with all of its lust and all of its desires and its delights. But you cannot yield to those desires and those delights. You reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How do I do that, preacher? You must remind yourself daily and throughout the day that you are saved. You're crucified with Christ, and you do not yield to the lust and desires of the flesh. You put them away, but you yield your mind and your members to the will of God and as instruments of righteousness unto God, not as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You must reckon yourself dead. You must recognize the deceitfulness of the flesh. Have no confidence in it. You must rob it of its desires. Make no provision for it. And you must reckon it dead, crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, that's easier said than it is done. What can I do, preacher? What can I do? Well, there's a choice you must make. You'll either have a life that is filled with crucifixion or corruption. One of the two. You can yield yourself to God and enjoy spirituality. You can yield yourself to the flesh and it will rob you of your spiritual life. You can have a life that is delightful as a Christian, or you can have a life that is defeated as a Christian. The choice is yours. But then there's a concept you must maintain. What is it, preacher? Claim your position. I am crucified with Christ. Control your practice. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body and bring it under subjection, lest that after I preach to others, I myself may be a castaway. Then you continue this precept. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, I die daily. As I was preparing to preach this, I thought of this and I jotted it down. We've got a lot of preachers, and I have one, and I'm not critical of them. We have a lot of preachers who have a DD, a Doctor of Divinity degree. But I tell you what we all need. We need a die daily degree. To be a DD Christian, a die daily. You cannot let your flesh go. It will rule and ruin your life. But you claim your position. I'm crucified with Christ. You control your practice. You bring your body under subjection. And then you continue the concept. It is an ongoing, daily, hourly procedure thing that we must do if we're going to maintain and enjoy our spirituality and keep our flesh off of the throne of our life. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. Help your people. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.